Howdy.
Howdy.
It's great to be back in Aggie Land. My name is Father Greg Gerhart. I'm the vocation director for the diocese. I was the associate pastor here a few years ago, and it's really a great joy and blessing to celebrate Mass with you here this Sunday with such a wonderful gospel to reflect upon in the Beatitudes. I want to share with you this quotation. There is no doubt about it. We all want to be happy. Everyone will agree with me before the words are even out of my mouth. So let us see if we can find the best way to achieve it. Now, if I were to tell you that a popular blogger wrote those words in his most recent post, it'd be really easy to believe. But in fact, they were written 1,600 years ago by St. Augustine. So begins St. Augustine's treatment on Christian ethics. Yes, ethics, morals. For St. Augustine, morality was the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, it's very common to think that the only happiness that the Christian has is after this life. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. Right? The Christian life is a drag on earth, but it'll be worth it in heaven. Right? Is that the case? Does the promise of happiness that God gives us only concern the future? Or does it also concern the concrete, present reality of our everyday lives? To give one example from Scripture that illustrates the urgency of this question, we can look to the Israelites and the golden calf. In the book of Exodus, we read that God had given the Israelites the promise of a land flowing with milk and honey. But they got tired of waiting for it. While Moses was on the mountain for 40 days receiving the law from God, the Israelite people became impatient, and they fashioned for themselves a golden calf. The promise of a sweet future did not sufficiently touch their bitter present, and they sought some relief. Now, if we understand the church's moral teaching, her indications for how best to attain happiness as simply promises for the future that don't touch the present, it can be easy for us to do the same, to get impatient and to seek some relief where it can be found. But the story of Exodus didn't end with the golden calf. After forgiving their sin, the Lord chose to strengthen their hope in the promised land with a daily reminder in the present. In the middle of the desert, God provides the Israelite people with manna, which strengthened their hope for the promised land flowing with milk and honey, because it itself tasted like honey. God promised the Israelites a land flowing with milk and honey. This was something that they would receive in the future, and he gave them a foretaste of that promise through manna in the present, a sweet bread-like substance that tasted like honey. It tasted like their destination, and it was something that they could experience already now. Now, a similar dynamic is true for us today. God promises us perfect happiness, his own happiness, a happiness that's so great that it has its own name, Beatitude. God promises us beatitude. It's something that we can receive from him in the future when we see him face to face, what the theologians call the beatific vision. And he gives us a foretaste of that already now through the Beatitudes. Yes, the Beatitudes, those eight promises from the Gospel of Matthew that we heard today, these are Jesus' moral teachings. They indicate the path to us for perfect happiness, and show us how to experience a foretaste of that already now on earth through the wonderful gift and virtue of hope. Yes, hope. Now, each beatitude is worth a homily on its own, but since I'm only allowed one per Mass, I want to highlight how these beatitudes are expressions of hope. A Christian reality that touches the present even as it promises the future. Now, my favorite image of Christian hope is an expectant mother. Now, if you've ever been around a pregnant woman, you've probably noticed that they have started to do some strange things. Right? My sister-in-law is a perfect example. She's right here. She wasn't here at the last Mass, so we'll see how these jokes land this time. Now, when I would go over to visit my brother, she would join us in having a beer. But now she won't. Kind of strange, right? In addition to abstaining from beer, she's taking all sorts of vitamins that she hasn't been taking. She's cutting down on coffee, not eating certain foods. She has to have the steak cooked to, like, a crisp. All these things are really strange. Or they would be strange if it weren't for the new baby. And this is the image of hope. Becca knows that she has a baby on the way, and that changes what she does in the present. Hope is a present action based on a future reality. For Becca, the future reality is the new baby, and the present action is abstaining from beer. For us, the future reality is beatitude, perfect happiness with the Lord in heaven, and the present action is the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are expressions of hope. Now, the image of an expecting mother also helps us to understand the four woes that Jesus gives at the end of the Gospel of Luke. When he does the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Luke, we had the one from Matthew today, but at the end of these Beatitudes in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus gives us four woes. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for the ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. An expectant mother helps us to understand these woes of Jesus, because if I were to go to my sister-in-law and I saw Becca smoking a cigarette right now, I would go, "Whoa! What are you doing?" Right? Not exactly the same woe that Jesus said, but it does communicate a similar meaning. Whoa, Becca, that's going to hurt the baby. Her present action is not based on the future reality. She's living without hope. Hope is one of the most important virtues of the Christian life. Just like we can see signs that a woman is pregnant, so too those around us should see signs that we are Christian. When the baby bump finally shows itself on an expecting mother, we say she's showing. We too are showing when our lives are marked by the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are expressions of hope. Hope has this interesting characteristic that I've been describing. It touches both the future and the present. And we can see it in the first two Beatitudes that Jesus gave us in the Gospel today. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Present. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Future. Is theirs. Will be comforted. Hope touches the future and the present. Hope is a desire for something in the future. Think of the promised land that was promised to the Israelites, flowing with milk and honey. That gives us a foretaste of the joy already in the present. Think of the manna that tasted like honey. The Christian life is not just waiting for something after this life. And here is another wonderful example. It comes from the book of Genesis. Jacob falls in love with Rachel, and he asks her father, Laban, for permission to marry her. And Laban agrees to give his daughter to Jacob in marriage in exchange for 7 years of service as a shepherd. Now, 7 years is a long time. Come to think of it, that's how long seminary was. But Scripture says this about that time. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, yet they seemed to him like a few days because of his love for her. And maybe I should have loved the priesthood more and seminary would have gone by a lot quicker. But the hope that Jacob experienced, the desire that he had for marriage with Rachel, allowed him to experience a foretaste of that joy already now in the present before his desire was fulfilled. And it caused those days to fly by, those years to fly by. The hope of the Christian has this dynamic as well. Longing for heaven causes us to experience a foretaste of heaven even now. That's why Jesus says the kingdom of God is yours in the present. The joy of heaven is available to us now, already in foretaste form through the Beatitudes. What's even greater news? St. Paul actually calls the joy that we can have now pitiful compared to what we will have in the future. It's already the greatest happiness that we can have on this earth, and it's pitiful compared to what we will have in heaven. He says, if for only this life we have hoped in Christ, we are the most pitiable people of all. The joy that we experience in hope is nothing compared to the joy of perfect communion with God in heaven. Most of the Beatitudes speak of the future reward of heaven. It is worth waiting for. The waiting itself is even good. But if we are content only with waiting, then we're doing something wrong. We shouldn't be content with waiting. We shouldn't be content on this earth. When Jesus says, woe to you, he lists everyone who is content, everyone who's satisfied, who's already fulfilled. If you aren't longing for heaven, you're in danger. You're like the woman who's smoking a cigarette, even though her baby is on the way. Becca is looking forward to the birth of her beautiful new baby, and it causes her to change some things in the present. If we are looking forward to heaven, it should change some things that we are doing in the present. In the present, it's pretty common to try to be rich, full, cheery, and well thought of. And these things do provide a certain level of contentment. The question we have to ask ourselves is that the happiness I'm seeking? Is that what gets me up in the morning? Is that what I think about at night? Is that what determines my day-to-day life? If the answer is yes, woe. We're damaging or even destroying the life that is promised to us. Smoking cigarettes while pregnant can hurt or even kill the baby. Living for the happiness that this world can provide can snuff out the eternal life that we were made for, the life that Jesus came to give us and that will finally bring our hearts to rest. Jesus calls his disciples blessed, because they are living for the eternal life that is to come. They are poor and hungry and mournful and persecuted now because they're hoping for something even better than being rich and full and cheery and well thought of. They're hoping for perfect communion with God in the future, and they've already found a foretaste of him in the present. Beatitude. By caring for the poor with their own riches, by feeding the hungry with their own food, by consoling the mournful with their own tears, and enduring persecution for the sake of Christ, for the sake of truth and justice and right, Jesus' disciples are blessed with a foretaste of the perfect joy that is to come. So, friends, do you want it? Are you hoping for it? Let's ask the Lord for the gift of hope and begin to experience a foretaste of heaven already now through the Beatitudes. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb, we're about to hear. The foretaste, what manna pointed to, this is heaven already on earth. Let's live for heaven already on earth. Amen.
thank you for listening to Aggie Catholic Homilies. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Aggie Catholic Talks, to hear talks from Magnify, Catholicism 101, and more. Thanks, God bless, and gig 'em.